Nice to see you. To see you.
Nice.
Turn to somebody near to you and say you're looking red hot tonight. Now say to them, but you're not as hot as me. If you'd been with us in that room, you'd have seen that crew burst in. I was sort of self-employed at the time. I was in the business of buying and selling illegal mind-bending substances. My shop premises was a first floor flat in Meredith Court, a tower block in New Moss Side. It was open 7 days a week, eight till late. It was my first flat. So you can imagine, I wanted it nice. I had the living room painted up and put some bits from Habitat in that were all nicked. I had a top of the range sound system, all separates. Do you remember them? I had four speakers placed around the room. Man, you should have heard the quality. So surround sound. You could hear helicopters circling the room in the music. The drugs were strong back then. There was a visual effect too. I had an oil machine that projected moving psychedelic patterns on the walls. I bought it with drugs off Junkie Pete. Late one night, it was business as usual. Me and Lisa were buzzing on speed, the music was blasting, and the oil machine was going like the clappers, knocking out shapes better than the Northern Lights. You should have seen us, we were like Bonnie and Clyde wearing Reebok Classics in a rave cave. Then there was a bang, bang, bang on the door. I turned the music down. No name, though. Customers always shouted it through the letterbox. Lisa went into the hallway. Seconds later, she comes rushing back in. And five lads come bursting in behind her, waving knives and baseball bats about. Four of them had balaclavas on. The one that wasn't ballied up was a weasel-faced white guy who was well psyched up. He started shouting. You should have heard him giving out orders. One lad starts rummaging around the flat, turning things over and smashing stuff up. One of them was stocky and he had a black Lacoste jacket on. He looked right at me. Get into the bedroom now. Two of them grabbed me and dragged me into the bedroom and made me stand on the bed. Then the stocky one goes, where's your drugs? I've not got any. So then he starts to whack me round the legs with a baseball bat. Come on, tell us where they are. I've not got any. Then Lisa comes flying into the bedroom and lands on the deck. Loudmouth was just behind her. He'd been grilling her in the other room. He had hold of a baseball bat as well. We know they're in here somewhere. Tell us where they are. I've just told him here. I've not got any. So then he starts to beat Lisa while she's on the floor. All right, all right, all right, I've got him here. I pulled a bag out from down me tracky bottoms. Do you know those plastic coin bags? It was full of wraps, you know, like little envelopes. There you go, that's all I've got. He snatched them from the floor. Come on, let's get off. Then they all bolted. I jumped down from the bed lively and pulled Lisa up. Are you all right, Lisa? Yeah, of course, I'll be all right. Did you give him the lot, Baz? Nah, did I yet? Just some wraps of brown. Nice move, babes. We went back into the other room. My system was untouched, so I turned the music back up and we took some more speed. That's just a taste of the chaos we were in. What about the chaos you've been in? When you've had those times on your path and it's felt like a crew has burst in on you. During the first part of the Good Book era, there's a fella on the scene called David. He was no stranger to chaos himself. Once it got so bad, he said, chaos has overwhelmed me. You know, it's a cert that we all get caught up in chaos to some extent Sunday. What takeaways can we uncover from there then? Let's have a butcher's for those that might help today. Truths to think about, even in times of chaos. For openers, even in times of chaos, you have a high valuation placed on you. If you'd have crossed paths with Dave, you'd never forget him. He was big, brash, and he had a ginger horseshoe tash. Dave got caught up in chaos when he was a criminal. He was in the Quality Street Gang, or the QSG, as they were known. This was a network of Manchester villains that was active way back. One way of making money was by running the doors of nightclubs. Once Dave was on the door of a local club. And then this little bloke wearing specs, carrying flyers, comes and he starts giving them out to those in the queue. So Dave goes and grabs one from a clubber. Give the guy in the sky a try. Hey you, you blankety blank. We don't want any religious rubbish being given out outside here. Do one. Later that week, he was out and about in town. And do you know who was there? Yeah, the guy. He was giving out flyers. Oh no, it's him again. So he swerved him. 2 days later, there was a knock on his door. So he went and opened it. And it was him. My name's Mike. Can I just give you one of? No, you can't. I don't want to know, you bankety bank. And he slammed the door in his face. This guy's doing my head in. Wherever I go, he's there. And now he knows where I live. He's bound to come back. I better do something. I'm going to set him up. Do you know what he did? He put pictures out of top shelf magazines up all over his living room walls. And I mean top shelf. You get me? The next morning, his door went again. So he opened it. You've guessed it. Aye, you said your name's Mike, didn't you? My name's Dave. Come in. He takes him through into the living room. Sit down, Mike. Dave sits right next to him. What do you think about them up there, eh? Aren't they beautiful? Oh, yeah, they are, Dave. They're gorgeous, them. Ah, so me and you are just the same then, aren't we? Well, I'm sure we are in some ways, Dave, yeah. But not in the way we look at those women. Since I don't see them the same way you do, I see them the same way God does. He sees their hearts and he places massive value on them despite the industry that they're in. And he thought, so that means God places massive value on me then, in spite of all the madness I'm involved in. This truth hit him so hard. Do you know what Dave did next? He gave the guy in the sky a try. Listen, even in times of chaos, you have a high valuation placed on you. There's a cracking line in the first part of the Bible that goes like this. God doesn't see the same way people see. People look at the outside of a person, but God looks at the heart. At the start of the naughty 90s, I got right into DJing. I could mix two records, In Time, Waka Wong, and In Key, Chocka Chong, every time. Years later, I got into it again. So I was back on the hunt for vinyl. I found one record in a crate in a second-hand shop in York that had a Martin Luther King speech on it. Result, if you'd have been in Sgt. Pepper's nightclub in Ibiza when I was playing there, while me and the team were in, reaching out to clubbers, you'd have heard how I used it. Ba 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 bam bam, ba 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 bam, ba 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 bam bam. I've come back to tell you that you are a somebody. Waka wong, chaka chong. Get this. Do you know that God thinks that much about you that his thoughts can't be counted? Well, he does. And do you know that he sees you as precious? Well, he does. And do you know that you're the apple of his eye? Well, you are. So this means you're a somebody too. You see, God places massive value on you, no matter what kind of chaos you might be in, like he did Dave. Oh, I never mentioned that it was outside Sergeant Pepper's that night, did I? This time round, though, he wasn't on the door. He was on our team. And he was the one giving out flyers to those in the queue. Listen, even in times of chaos, you have a high valuation placed on you. Late one night, it was business as usual. Then that crew burst in. Get into the bedroom now. Even in times of chaos, you have a high evaluation placed on you. And other than this, even in times of chaos, you can always call for backup. It was a while ago now when I went round to me mum and dad's. If you'd have walked in with me, you'd have seen the look on me man's face when she saw me. And you'd have whiffed that Indian curry, me dad's favourite. He just had some for tea. He'd have had a garlic naan with it and a pile of poppadoms to start. He always did. This was during the time on my path when I thought I had AIDS. For 2 years, I was convinced my days were numbered, since there was no treatment then. You can imagine that this took the chaos that I was caught up in to a whole new level. I didn't say out to anybody though. I just kept it to myself. That evening, I put on my brave face and walked in. This is a nice surprise, Baz. Yeah, ma'am. I just thought I'd pop in to see you both. I sat on the settee. My dad had his joggers on, and he was sat with his leg over the arm of his chair. My mum was in her armchair with the remote control next to her. That's because he had one too. You should have seen him talk about Battle of Wills. That curry smells nice, Dad. It was bloody lovely. One of those vindaloos from Marks and Spencer's. We were chatting and watching telly. I think Coronation Street was on. They made a truce for that. And then I remembered when we were kids, my dad used to call me Mum Electric Legs because she used to walk dead fast. And then I remembered my mum bombing it down our street, carrying about 35 bags of shopping after getting off the bus. And then I remembered when my dad pinned my gym teachers to the wall because he'd battered me. You touch my lad again, and I'll hurt you very badly. Or words to that effect. And then I started thinking about all the bother they've had because of me, over a decade's worth. And I thought, now, after all that, they're going to watch me get dead ill. And then they're going to see me die. I was proper devastated. Do you know, I felt so bad I had to get off. I'm going to get going, I'll see you later. Them days, I was living on my own in Salford, so just around the corner, about 15 minutes away. By the time I got in, I felt even worse, so I walked into the bedroom, and the only thing that I could think to do was to kneel down at the side of the bed. God, help me! You see, I'd messed my life up. I'd written myself off. So I called out to him. And since then, he has cleaned my mess up and he's written me right back in. Listen, even in times of chaos, you can always call for backup. And FYI, I didn't have AIDS. That fella that I mentioned, do you know the one who's no stranger to chaos? He learnt this first, and he said, God is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. In other words, those who are sincere, those who really mean it. He says, he hears their cries for help and rescues them. What about you? Have you messed up in some way? Have you written yourself off? Could you do with some help? Why not give God a try? Listen, even in times of chaos, you can always call for backup. Late one night, it was business as usual. Then that crew burst in. Get into the bedroom now. Even in times of chaos, you have a high valuation placed on you. You can always call for backup, and even in times of chaos, you're able to rebuild better. You had to be on that Zoom with us to hear someone who I'm calling my Exhibit A tell us how this came about for her. She said, for me, chaos was just normal, even as a kid. One time, me and my mum were living in a rehab down south, but we got kicked out because she got caught with drugs. We ended up at my auntie's. Then we lived in a hostel. And after that, we got a flat. Then my mum met this fella, so we flitted to Fleetwood and moved into a bedsit. We got evicted from there, though. It was in the middle of the night. We had nowhere to go. So I went to the police station, and my mum asked if we could stay. So we slept on the police cell floor. I was only about 8. Then she met this other bloke who sexually abused me. That went on for around a year. I started drinking and smoking myself by the time I was 11. It wasn't long before I was taking drugs, going to festivals and partying and all that. I got pregnant at 14. Then at 19, I had a miscarriage. 5 years after that, I got pregnant again. This is just how it was. It seemed like I was always caught up in chaos of one sort or another. It got to the point, though, when I thought, I want something better than this. Then my mate saw an event advertised on Facebook. So we went, and someone said from the stage, God wants to be part of your journey, but first, you need to ask him in. So I did. And then my Exhibit A said, it was after this that when things did pan out for the better for me, I stopped taking drugs and all the craziness. Then I got a job doing admin and stuff. Then I met this fella at church who treated me dead different. He included me. And he wasn't after sex like all the others. Then I got married. And after that, I became a care worker. And after that, I went to college. And after that, I started training to be a leader. And now, as well as getting paid to do all the administration at church, I'm the assistant leader. You see, she was right in the thick of it, and yet she got on with rebuilding her life brick by brick. Look, even in times of chaos, you're able to rebuild better. You've just seen the evidence of it. My Exhibit A. A is for Adele, by the way. She used to work for us. And I was someone speaking from the stage that she mentioned. In Bible times, there was a 70-year period where God's people was held against their will away from home, so their own towns and cities lay derelict. But Isaiah had said they will rebuild the ancient ruins. These 6 words paint a picture for us today. You see, God wants to be part of our journey, so that with him we can rebuild the areas of our lives that have been ruined, and then our lives can be better than they've ever been before. He says, I will restore to you the years. It means those lost years. Raise your hand if you've got one or two of them. But first, you need to let him in. You need to give God a try. Look, even in times of chaos, you're able to rebuild better. Late one night, it was business as usual. Then that crew burst in. Get into the bedroom now. Even in times of chaos, you have a high valuation placed on you. You can always call for backup. You're able to rebuild better. And as well as these, even in times of chaos, you can set out down a different track. If you'd have tapped speaker on my phone that was on my desk just near me, you'd have heard us. Hello, is that Mr. Woodward? Yes, speaking. My name's Donna. I'm from More Than Insurance. Do you mind if I call you Barry? No, do I, Eck? The reason why I'm ringing, Barry, is to find out if you've got building and contents insurance for your home. Yeah, I have. It just so happens that ours is due. In fact, I was ringing around for a couple of quotes earlier on. Do you want me to give you a quote too then, Barry? Yeah, go on then, Donna. Why not? She's firing away the questions and part way in. Have you ever had any criminal convictions, Barry? Yeah, I have. But they're all spent. They were ages ago. Oh, it doesn't matter if they're all spent. Before we can insure you, we need to know what they are. Theft, GBH, going equipped. That's just a few of them. Then she asks, have you ever been in prison, Barry? Yeah, I have. What have you been in prison for? Possession of heroin. Then she goes, have you ever taken drugs, Barry? Yeah, I have. What drugs have you taken? Cannabis, LSD, amphetamines, MDMA, crack, heroin. So you've taken heroin, Barry? Yeah, I have. I was taking it for 15 years. All this was yonks ago, though, when I was caught up in loads of chaos. I'm not anymore. So how did that change then, Barry? Well, in a nutshell, Donna, it happened after I asked God in it. Because that's when I set out down a different track. And I've been on it ever since. I've even wrote a book about it. It's called Once an Addict. All sounds fascinating. Fair play to you. I might even buy a copy of your book to find out more, Barry. But because you've been done for theft, GBH and going equipped, and you've been in prison and you've been on heroin, More Than Insure can't insure you, Barry. Listen, even in times of chaos, you can set down a different track. Watch this. 2,000 years ago, 2,000 miles away, God who flung the stars into space, God who spoke the universe into being, he became a man. His name is Jesus. Jesus is God with skin on. And he came to this earth and he was tempted just like you, but he resisted temptation. And at the age of 33, he allowed himself to be nailed to a cross. Just before that, they'd beaten him. They'd laughed at him. They'd spat on him. And he hung on that cross for 6 hours. So just picture the chaos that he was caught up in that time. That was for you. Because he died on that cross to pay the price for your faults, for your flaws, and for your failures. He died on that cross to put things right for you, which means no matter where you're at now, you can set out down a different track. It was 2 years before that day when he described this as the narrow way. And he said, only a few find it. Are you going to join me? And Jen, Mark, and being one of those few? That's up to you. Because the decision is in your hands. Imagine you're on a short trip in London with someone. It's your last morning, so before you check out of your hotel, you go on a short boat trip on the Thames. Then when it's done, you're walking up the street, heading back to your hotel, and you go to put your hand in your bag. But it's gone. You need to be out of your hotel in 10 minutes. Your car's parked in the basement car park of a different hotel, and your car key is in your bag. How do you think you'd react? Raise your hand if you think you stay calm. Now those of you who think you start flapping, raise your hands. I'm with you lot, because that's just what me and Tina did when we found ourselves in this situation 2 summers ago. Talk about flapping, man. We were flapping that much we nearly flew to China. For a minute anyway, then we morphed into hyperactive project management mode. You should have seen us. Tina rushed back to the hotel. And the plan was is that she'd check out, get the bags, wait downstairs near the reception, and then I would pick her up once I sorted the key out to get into my car. Auto locksmiths near me. 2 hours later, the skinny, short, dark, curly-haired, we make any car key man, turned up in his van at the hotel where my car was. Right, what I need to do, I need to pick and decode the lock, then I can make a key. It took me about an hour all in all, leave it with me and come back later. Well, I don't mind hanging around, to be honest, because I'd like to see how you do it. Do you mind? No, do I, heck. So he gets the lock pick and decoder tool out of his van and he puts it into the keyhole on the driver's side door. Then he moves the arms on the side of it along and he clicks on each pin inside. Then, to get the code, he looks at the numbers and he measures the depths of the cuts. Then he takes that 10-digit code, it gets into his van, types it into his key cutting machine, clamps the key in, presses start and cuts it. Then, takes that key to my car, opens the door and gets in. This whole process was far slicker than hammering in a flat-headed screwdriver and using a big pipe wrench to turn it to break the lock. That's a Salford lock picking decoder tool. Do you know, God will never pick and decode your lock, then make a key to get in. He won't, because he puts the onus on you. You have to decide to open it, and then he'll get in. Here's one of my top verses out of the Bible just for you. Commit your future to God. Trust in him. And he will act on your behalf. Listen, even in times of chaos, you can set out down a different track. The decision is in your hands, though. See, it's down to you to give the guy in the sky a try. Just like Dave from the QFG did, remember? Let's wrap this up now by paying one last visit to my shop, which was a first floor flat in a tower block. It was open 7 days a week, 8 till late. That night, me and Lisa were buzzing on speed, the music was blasted, and the oil machine was going like the clappers. There was a banging on the door, then that crew burst in. And I know there's been times on your path when it's felt like a crew has burst in on you, because we all get caught up in chaos. So we've just had a butcher's at some truths. Truths that can help and truths for you to take away. Please stand. No going outside for a smoke just yet. Listen up. Right now, God is stood outside your door. He wants to be part of your journey. The decision is in your hands, though. What are you going to do? I'm going to pray a prayer. And I'm going to invite two groups of people to pray this prayer with me. The first group, those people in this room, you have never prayed a prayer to ask God into your life before. It could be that you've prayed crisis prayers. I've prayed loads of those. God, give me bail. This is the last time. Nothing on my crisis prayers, by the way. It could be that you've been brought by a friend or you've come with a group and you didn't know what to expect. There's a reason for you being here. God stood outside your door. It could be that you're a 12-stepper and you're struggling with making God, making Jesus your higher power. Listen, pray this prayer. Give God consent to come in and see what happens. It could be that you've been resisting. You kind of believe in God, but you've been resisting giving God consent to come in. Pray this prayer. Park your pride outside. Put your pride in your handbag. Put it in your pocket. Do something with it, because today is the day. So the first group of people who's going to pray this prayer with me are those people you've never prayed a prayer before. You're going to pray this prayer. And the second group of people, those people you may have prayed a prayer in the past. Whether it was somewhere in the past you've prayed a prayer and you've given God consent to come in, but right now, for whatever reason on your path, stuff is happening and you're not really living how I want you to live. Listen, pray this prayer, get back on track. That's all you need to do. And He'll forgive and forget. And as you leave this place, you can crack on with the rest of your journey. So they're the two groups. Anybody else, you make up the third group. You're going to pray to encourage the first group and the second group. Are we ready? All three groups, repeat after me, phrase by phrase. Dear God, I come to you tonight and I admit that I'm not perfect. God, I ask that you forgive me for all my faults, for all my flaws, and for all my failures. And God, right now, I'm opening my door so that you can come in. And also, God, I'm calling out to you because I want to rebuild the areas of my life that have been ruined. And God, I'm saying, I'm ready to get the bricks out that I need so I can rebuild better. While our heads are bowed like this, no looking around just yet. If you've prayed that prayer, you're part of the first group or the second group, can you put your hands up so I can see them?